Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome into the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by HVU Insider. I'm Jim Galante. With me today, Mike Villagrana. He's the head of HVU Insider. How are we doing, Mike?
Doing great, Jim. Great to be back here on the show with you. Excited for another week this week. It's kind of that dead time where people are just like, this is when like a lot of the national media and the radio hosts, you notice that they take a ton of time off now. You know, this is like the time to vacation. But it's still, you know, with college football and every show that we do, we usually could talk 3 hours. We usually talk another hour in between and before and after the show. So there's always something good to talk about. But yeah, great to be back, Jim.
And you and I, we don't take vacations. We're always working, Mike. Always at right. it. Before we get started with some of our topics, speaking of working, you're hard at work at HVU Insider. You got so much stuff going on. How about just updating our listeners on a few of the things going on over there at Insider?
Well, we have this platform. It's about 16 weeks old. And we really wanted to drive some memberships or some subscribers on there. And, you know, we went from zero subscribers to 7,000 subscribers, which is great. I couldn't be more thankful to everybody. And everybody has been part of that team. And we're just getting started. You know, it's basically a scouting platform with a lot of engagement tools on there. A lot of areas where it's bringing in the community, you know, the U's, the me's of the world that just like college football, love Penn State football, love going on Twitter, talking college football and recruiting. It's a place where you can all go there. You get points. You can get you can win prizes. Right. You can win sweepstakes. And all you got to do is just go on and enter. You know, we usually have a sweepstakes going every month. We just ended our last one last week for the Avalon. We are at the Shore event. So two lucky people won tickets, a $1,000 voucher to go to the event. And it's one of our staple events that's awesome. Coach Campbell, Saquon Barkley, current players, former players, and a lot of, you know, notable dignitaries were there. So a great event. So those are the things that we're able to provide. We have something coming up. I'll tease you with volleyball being played at Wrigley and in Texas. So we're going to do something with volleyball. We're excited about to roll out. So it's just one of the things that we're doing. And, you know, we have a pretty cool thing coming out for the season, which is going to take the scouting school to another level, which is really cool. And knowing me, this is kind of my background, 10 plus years was in the recruiting space. So it just feels kind of it was a good transition for me to go to this space, and I'm having a lot of fun with it. And you've been kind of alongside me this whole time. So appreciate you asking, Jim. But, yeah, it's going good. Having fun with it. It's like a startup, I guess. Like, you know, and I imagine if you do a startup, there's going to be a lot of wrinkles at the beginning. There's got to be a lot of communication, a lot of, you know, full transparency. You know, hey, this is working. That isn't working. Let's pivot here. Let's pivot there. That's been not frustrating, but just like humbling to me, because, you know, you think, you know, like, I can run a website, you know, I can get fan engagement. Oh, man. But you don't think about all the other things. Right. So it's been fun. But I really appreciate everybody that's been on board and any feedback that we can get. I personally respond to every single email from our newsletters and everything, which I think is really important. For me to have engagement with our members. So any feedback from fans and the listeners, please, you know, let me know. But if you're not a subscriber, please go on HVU Insider and subscribe. There's some good content on there. There's articles. We don't call them pink sheets. We call them blue sheets. And basically, those are like just updates on recruiting, you know, things out there. And, you know, there's a lot of good services. And not even only the services. There's so many just like fans that are really good at like news and talking about Penn State. So we try to just bring a different perspective, you know, not trying to say it's better than any each one, but just a little bit different from my background. So it's really cool, Jim. I could probably talk an hour about it, but it's been fun. And again, I thank everybody that's been supporting us to this point.
Well, as someone who has been part of startup businesses, we always say, Mike, the devil's in the details. And there's always something that you don't know what you don't know is the bottom line. And even as we're doing these events at Pine Grove Hall with the players and all, it's been great, by the way. We had Derek Hoosier on. We've done like five of them. Every time, everyone gets better because we've learned a little. We learn a little bit each time and we adjust. And by coincidence, we can't make anything public yet, but prior to the start of this show, you and I were talking about another event, some more things that we want to do come fall, come the season. And we were even, our last thing we talked about is, we might want to do a test event just to, you know, learn a bit more.
Yeah. And you know what? What I'm finding out in this like ecosystem as we evolve, and we talk about the climate of college football all the time on the show. I love talking about it because it's fascinating. We're in the most fascinating time in college athletics ever. And I really enjoy going through this during these times because it's new and you have to adapt and you have to be around good people. And what I've found out through the past year is that a lot of the local companies and businesses and restaurants, they want to be involved and they want to help. But a lot of times with these colleges, the MMRs or whatever, they have a threshold that you can only, like, you have to pay X amount of money to be a partner with them, IP and all that good stuff. Right. I didn't know any of this stuff, to be honest, before I got into this. And now I know enough. And the local businesses and the restaurants, they can't always meet that threshold, right? And so I think where Happy Valley United and HVU Insider is, it's an avenue for these local businesses to work with something a smaller scale, and yep. But you feel like you're really giving back. And that's by us, you know, be able to give sponsorships, be able to do shows at Pine Grove Hall. We, like you just mentioned, we had our sixth show there, and it was with Hoosier, and we had six, seven players there, and it was awesome. So things like that we're able to do. It's the smaller events. I'm working with our team to establish a chapter outreach program. I'm really excited about, you know, just talking to chapters just like me and you is really good because it's educating them on where Penn State is, let alone college football landscape. So it's there's so many different things that we can do that help, right? And it's not just like the Wild Wild West, which probably a majority of people still think it is.
It is, and it's wonderful, a lot of these things you're doing and getting folks involved. So speaking of, you mentioned about this is probably the most interesting time ever in college football with everything going on. I'm using that as my segue to get to one of the topics I wanted to ask you about, which is this new rule now. Players are going to have 5 years and get to play five seasons. That's a huge change, Mike. And again, I use the expression devil in the details. The devil's going to be in the details of this rule change also. But first of all, what are your thoughts? You good with it?
Yeah, I like it in theory. I think there's going to be some backlash just because of maybe that because of the transition and basically these guys coming into it, and it may affect them. Whereas like in a couple of years down the line, it's not going to affect them. But I think overall, I really like it just because. You know, you get rid of the red shirt was old school anyways. So you play five. This kind of helps with all the transferring. There's a lot of things that it affects. But I think what it really interests me is how it affects our current roster. And reading a couple things out there. And it was funny, even talking to Hooge, he brought it up before it even happened. He's like, this thing might just go down and end up going down. So it's going to affect our roster. I don't know, but there's some, you know, some seniors, some high end seniors, that if they don't get, you know, the draft grade that they want to get, and maybe they are like, you know, pinged as a third, fourth round guy, like say for hypothetically Zion Tracy, who has a, you know, he's probably projected, you know, middle to upper right now. Like if he comes back after his senior year and it says, you know, you're a late fourth, fifth rounder, then he could come back. Now, he didn't have that because he had burned his red shirt and he had played 3 years. So this would be his last year of eligibility. But now with this rule, he could technically come back. And there's a couple other guys like that. And that affects, you know, who you take, because you can have only 105 on the roster. So that could have a domino effect with the 27 class. Who we take in the portal, right?
Oh, yeah. And I didn't do this homework. Somebody else did. And I read the article. It listed players and this year seniors. In fact, that's one of the things I think is going to go away, Mike. We're not going to hear freshman, sophomore. I think you got to start doing first year, second year, third year guy. Yeah. Just to understand where they are eligibility wise.
Yeah, that's right.
But some of the currently called seniors, you mentioned Zion Tracy, but Carson Henson, Ben Brommer, Cooper Abel, Jameson Pesson, the are all players. Essentially, if you didn't use a red shirt, you're going to get an extra year of eligibility.
Yeah, and imagine like a Ben Brommer like that. He's one of the better tight ends in the nation. Now, how that translates to what scouts think is another story. So if he comes back and, you know, he's paid like one of the top tight end in the nation, he could come back if they say, you know, he's a late fifth, sixth projected. He's better to come back if he wanted to make the money, you know, the guaranteed money. So that affects like who it's the domino effect. And that's at each position. But yeah, I think it's really interesting. Carson Henson being able to come back, like if he doesn't get a, you know, but the thing with Carson too, with the running backs is, you know, there's a lot of wear and tear on those guys. And the more wear and tear on them, they become less valuable to the NFL.
Well, you know what? I want to react to that, but we'll do that, Mike, right after this break. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent, led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students. It's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by HVU Insider. I'm Jim Galante, along with Mike Villagrana, quarter number two of our show. Mike, when we finished up segment number one, we were talking about this new rule, 5 years, you get to play five seasons. And the obvious thing where it hits is the players who did not use their red shirt. You have 5 years to play, five seasons you get to play. We were talking about some of the Penn State players. And Mike, I think we were talking about Carson Henson positionally as a running back. Boy, you don't want to get beat up too many times in college before getting the opportunity in the NFL. So it matters even by position. But what you're also going to have, superstars, first-round draft picks, they're going to be leaving after 3 years anyway. So what you're going to have, Mike, are the good and real good players who may not be the great players. They can see this as an opportunity. if they either weren't going to get drafted or are projected to get drafted late, combine that with the compensation they can now receive in college, it might be worthwhile to stick around another year.
Oh, 100%. I think if it was me, if these guys, especially our guys, I think are somewhat financially being smart about this. You know, they're not paying $80,000 for the prom. You know, if I know I can make, you know, life-changing money for another year and stack that, you know, financially, while you have the best of the best, you know, at places like Penn State, you know, from, you know, I was just at the facility. I know we're going to talk about it, but I was at the facility this week for a couple of days, hanging out, doing some stuff with the players. And one of the guys was like, man, he was a former letterman. He's like, man, we didn't have all this stuff when I played. he played in the 90s, the mid 90s. So I'm like, yeah, it's awesome. I mean, you walk in there, they got stacks of like Buffalo Wild Wings just ordered for them. They got all they got the sleep area, they got the players lounge, they got everything, right? So if you can, you know, financially help yourself out for the next 40, 50 years with another season in that kind of environment, that's a hard decision. But I think me, I would come back to school for sure. But that has a negative effect on the NFL, you know, product. Well, at least not the product, but at least when it comes to the draft. And you saw that, and a lot of people talked about it, how the mid to late rounds was really diluted because you had so many players going back to school because they can make the same amount of money.
That's the point in the process of it. Now, if you're a first-round draft pick, you're going to the NFL. You're getting out there. You're going to make, you know, the big contracts going to happen. But if you're not that kind of player, it would actually behoove you to stick around. And I think even more than the guy who, you know, you look at Carson Henson or Ben Brommer might be a better example, who I think, barring any injury this year, he'll be an NFL draft pick next year, I would think. You're the scout, Mike. Is that pretty legit? If you had to bet.
And I, you know what? I just had a conversation with a friend of mine that's a scout, or not a scout, he's an agent, with one of the more reputable ones out there. And he was asking about him specifically. And I asked him, you know, what do you think right now? And he thinks, you know, mid-round, maybe mid-third, fourth round right now. But he's a really versatile tight end. He's the kind of tight end that you see in the NFL, you know, can do it all, block, catch, physical, big, he's a big, long dude. So it'll be interesting to see. But, like, if that's what his actual scouting grade is and it comes back to him later in the season, he might seriously think about coming back, you know. And then what does that do to, like, the younger guys in the room, you know, that, you know, I just assumed before this rule came out that, oh, Ben's going to be gone after this year. I'm okay, you know, sitting behind him or playing alongside him like a rapier. You know, that it has that domino effect, right? It goes all the way to the bottom to who you're going to take in the next class, the 28 class, right? Or who we're taking right now. So, man, again, I know we talked about it a lot last week, but, man, Derek Hoosier has a hell of a job, man.
It is crazy, but
because there's nothing normal. There's been nothing normal for not just Derek Hoosier, but just, you know, head coaches, staffs across the board in the country. It's like they just finished June, which all staffs in country hate, right? It's like Groundhog's Day for every single day. They're sleep deprived. They just hate it, right? And now they finally get on vacation. Boom, here comes this new rule. It could completely alter everything that you just did for the last 6 months.
Yeah, exactly. But with that kind of thing, Mike, a smart GM can find opportunities here. And
100%. 100%. And I will go back to what we said last week after talking to, after you got a chance to really get to know Hoosier. The guy can be an NFL GM. And while I was in the building this past week working with some of the players, I got to catch up with some guys. And, hey, how'd June go? You know, and everything was, like, super positive. And we talking about Hoosier. And I'm like, man, he's super impressive, man. And the same thing came back. Yeah, this guy could be an NFL GM.
Well, you know,
I say that because those guys have to be able to turn these things into opportunities. And that's why I feel really good that we have Hooge and this staff, because they function like an NFL front office more so than the old recruiting kind of structure. So they're going to – I just feel bad. I don't feel bad, but it's just like, man, these guys can't – GMs and staff just can't catch a break.
See, I'm going to turn this around a little bit. I'm not sure NFL GMs are qualified to be college GMs, because I think there's more going on in college right now.
Yeah, because there's no transparency. There's no guardrails. There's no CBA. There's no cap. There's no unions. There's none of that. So, yeah, they would lose their mind.
And every player's college. A free agent. Remember that.
Everybody's a free agent. But now this – 5-for-5 rule, it kind of helps that. It gets us right back in the right direction. You're not going to have 29-year-olds on teams, right? You're not going to have guys transferring 3-4 times because you only have 5 years. And this is the part that everybody – and I talked about this when I was at VT. I remember sitting in there with Hazel and Brent Pry. And I'm going through the transfer season, which is just hell for anybody that was in my world. Because academically, depending on where you're at, there's different standards. So I think you've heard it come up with like Sark making fun of some other school because they can accept, you know, some weaving class or something like that, right? Well, yeah. I was in a position where we were getting screwed because we couldn't accept somebody that an Ole Miss or Ohio State or somebody else could accept based on their academic standards. So recruit A could want to come to Virginia Tech, but we couldn't take all of his credits, right? Yeah. He had to have progress to the degree to at a certain percentage. And if he didn't, we couldn't even touch him. We couldn't even look at him. But when you go back to a coach and support staff and you tell them that, like, no, screw that. Why can't we get them in? You know what I mean? So that this 5-for-5 rule should help that with the transferring and how much it's happening. Because that was the real thing that came to me when the transfer portal stuff was happening. Is like, these guys are going to struggle, especially as they get older, or the older that they get, the harder it is to transfer more. They're more liable to lose more credits when they transfer. So it's such a game, but this hopefully helps it a little bit.
Well, the other part to it, and you sort of alluded to it, is the age thing where now for years we've always thought a collegiate player, he gets done with high school, he starts, he's 18 years old, goes for 4 years or possibly five. But the way things have been with not just with the transferring, missing a year, some of these guys are on sixth or seventh year. The 5-year window starts either out of high school or when they turn 19. So it dashes my dreams, Mike, of ever getting onto a college football field. I have 4 years of, or now 5 years of eligibility left, but unfortunately the age thing's going to get me, Mike. I can't get on the field anymore.
Yeah, no, I think basketball coaches and staffs, this is really going to affect them because as you saw the past 2, maybe 3 years, you saw them pivoting to international players, which are a pain in the college NIL to. It's just there's so many different loopholes and things you got to go through. That's one, and then two, those players, you're not going to have 24, 23-year-old. Europeans coming in, or guys that are you know played for a B league or something like that.
Well, I saw something, Mike, that said LSU's basketball team is older than the San Antonio Spurs basketball team.
Yeah. Well, think about the Michigan team. Like, that team was old. They were old and they were good, right? And that guy, and that vaulted the head coach to bounce to the NBA. And I think he ended up drafting one of his guys in the first round.
Well, now he's also going to have to
coach lottery picks.
He'll have to coach a younger team now in the NBA than he'd been in college.
Exactly.
Well, but that's part of it. And actually, it affects Penn State's basketball, where this most recent team, he's been bringing in international players.
Yeah.
And as you said, that's not common. So there's the age thing. And the other part to it, Mike, is this: you can't have played or signed a professional contract. So there's going to be some issues with those international players who have played in leagues that are considered professional. So they may not even be able to come in to begin with. So basketball is going to be really affected by it also. But in football, you're going to see, this age limit. Now there's players who are 27, 28 years old. That goes away. We're going to talk about some more of these exceptions, Mike, when we come back.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by HVU Insider. I'm Jim Galante. He's Mike Villagrana. He's the guy in charge of HVU Insider. This is quarter number three of our show. And Mike, we've been talking about this new rule, 5 years to play five seasons, which I think is great. It gets rid of the red shirt completely. It also means like some of these, we talked about the seniors on Penn State. How about some of the freshmen who played and used up a year of eligibility last year? And they may have only done that on special teams. And I think that's always been a tough rule with the redshirt, guys who just barely get over the barrier and it counts against them. But there's some pretty good players, guys like Kobe Howard, Darius Dixon. LeVar Arrington is an example. Apparently he used up a year of eligibility under the old rules and just played special teams, Mike. And, I'm not sure that was quite fair. I feel like this 5 seasons, 5 years to play 5 seasons is a lot more fair to all the players too.
Yeah. I don't think it affects those guys as much right now. They don't have to make a decision based off of it, right? They have some time and basically how well they do, NFL projections and stuff like that. That's down the line for, Attash and Vaughn and Dixon's. But that is nice to know that they didn't burn a year, because I always hated that rule. I thought it was so dumb, especially when you get all these people together. What percentage did they play? Okay. And then they started rolling out, they can play four games. Okay, then you have to be strategic about playing four games. And then it was, then they can play bowl games. And so it was just a whole, cat and mouse game, almost, internally with how you wanted to develop these players. What games should they be in? What games should they play in? And it was dumb. So, yeah, to your point, Jim, that's another pro to this new rule.
Do you think, Mike, it will affect how recruiting is done? And, you are not going to stop recruiting elite players who are going to be gone in 3 years, okay? You win championships with those elite players. But in your mind, you know, might there be guys who, as I said earlier, they might be good players, not great. They may not look like they're going to have an NFL future, but now you got an extra year of getting them on the field. Could you see it changing recruiting at all?
I think it's just resetting. Like, so I think you're looking at your roster, you're looking at each position in that room, and then now you're basically recalibrating what the projection is, because staffs before this rule, they had a projection. They knew who was leaving the program. And then obviously that's a hard concrete number of who can come in. Right. And then you allocate that to that number alone, that concrete number, you allocate that to, all right, the 27 class, the portal, right? And then you look at the board and you say your position boards and you say, all right, well, where are the holes? Where are we not developing? Okay. Then you project more numbers to that position. So with this rule and potentially adding another year to some of those older guys like the Zion Tracy's, the Brommers, that could change the number for this class, and the total number is 105. But I don't think it's going to have that much of a big shift with recruiting. But it just, when you're looking at those older guys, those guys could have a domino effect. Was it like 5-6 guys that are seniors that could have another year? If I had to bet right now, play this game, I bet you half of them come back. If I had to bet right now.
And I think when you add in the pricing, you know, what it costs for a player, I would think it would have more effect on the portal than on recruiting, because portal might be a 1 or 2 year player who you're bringing in to plug a hole. If Zion Tracy's coming back, if Carson Henson is coming back, that eliminates two holes. You know what I mean? You know, if you're at that level of where you need an experienced player at a specific position, every one of these senior guys who would come back for a fifth year, that's one less hole to fill.
Yeah, 100%. Like it's like a bullet in their pocket right now that they got, or in the chamber, as they would say. Yeah. Right? It's a really good thing for them right now. You know, but it does have an effect on the other guys in that room, as I talked about in the last segment. Like a Rapier, you know, is he good, you know, being side by side with Brommer next year? Is a recruit, like, there's probably conversations with recruits that, you know, were being told during the recruiting process, like, hey, yeah, this guy, he's going to graduate, so the room's going to look like this next year, versus now it's going to look a little bit different, but not that it's like going to change anything, but you just have to have that conversation. Hey, with this rule, this is what it looks like right now. And you just have to be transparent about that. Hey, this could happen or that could happen. And every program is different how they're going to, you know, how they're going to attack this. But it's pretty cut and dry to me. I think it's helpful, honestly, for GMs and, you know, building out a roster, just because there's less of all that other stuff that we mentioned. Right. So I think it's a good thing.
I do, too. While we have some time left in this segment, quarter four, we're going to take a look at some of the players that you've been seeing the last week or so. I do want to hit, we had a recent recruit the last week, Case Alexander, a big-time linebacker. We got to meet and talk to his brother, Cooper, who's a tight end, who is on the current roster. But I think this is a pretty nice get, this Case Alexander, four-star linebacker from Oklahoma, Mike.
Yeah, I think I went on a rant last week, right? Maybe in the last segment, I said, this guy's coming here. Right?
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. I was like,
this guy has to come here. His brother's here. Matt Campbell, everybody, this guy's coming here. But I really had no idea. So I'm glad he did come here. It's a really good get. I'll never forget when he came on his first junior day, me seeing him, he just looks huge. I for some reason, I kept thinking Lattimore of the program, right? So think of Lattimore in the program playing middle linebacker for us, right? That's what this kind of kid reminds me of. Obviously, his brother is on the team. Really good kid. He was on one of our first shows. And I know you enjoyed talking to him.
Oh, yeah.
He gave us really great perspective on the transition from here. Really good perspective of the staff, Matt Campbell, the culture. So to me, like after hearing that, I'm like, oh, his brother's definitely coming here. But good for his brother, good for the family, you know, really testing it out, really thoroughly going through the process. I mean, Oklahoma really wanted this kid. That's in-state, another big win for this staff. And think about Dylan McGee. Dylan McGee just came off an official visit at Texas. Yeah. In-state Texas. Texas, who is well-known to be having, I think, a $48 million type of roster, which is well amongst the highest, allegedly.
I think they are the highest.
Yeah, I mean, everybody talks about it. Yeah. He just came off of that visit, and he's still committed to us. Like, those two commitments, that says a lot, man. Like, I posted something about it when Dylan did that, because I honestly thought the momentum was dying. And usually when that in-state school gets that last visit, they're going to go all out. And really, they're going to keep you there until basically you commit to them. Like, it is going to be intense. So I really didn't think we were going to get Dylan just because of that reason. Texas, the money, the school, the logo, and just being in-state. Like, all that combined, I'm like, man, that's going to be a tough get, and we got him. Now, I thought Alexander was a little bit different just because of the dynamics with his brother and his family and Matt Campbell and everything. But still, Oklahoma, who isn't broke either, and I think they have some momentum going right now with the program, Mateer coming back. Did you see the picture of Mateer, by the way?
No, I didn't.
I don't know if it was AI, but he looks like a bodybuilder. Like, he looks jacked, huge. But anyways, that was another big get for us getting old Alexander.
Well, tell me a little bit more about McGee, a quick scouting report on him.
McGee, long kid, really, I think you kind of up. So if you look at the two guys that were committed and that decommitted, Samaje and the other kid, I thought they were kind of like middle of the board. They had some, they were going to be developmental guys, right? They matched the physical traits that we're looking for with length. I think what Dylan does is he really kind of, he fills that gap that we lost with that. But I think there's more athletic upside to him. So I really like that. You know, I know there was a lot of noise because we lost the two DBs. But getting Dylan, to me, that's a huge gift for us to fill that. And not only fill the gap, but I think we upgraded that from the departures.
Well, you have to look at the, you know, where the competition is. And if you lose a guy to Virginia, West Virginia, you know, I don't want to say it doesn't matter. It does. But when you see, you know, I'll talk about the players Penn State lost to Georgia. Those are real losses. You know, if a kid picks Georgia, they're the example where you give, with Texas being the competition. You know what? That's a nice win recruiting-wise, Mike.
Oh, it's huge. It is huge. And again, there's levels to this. Like you said, like, if we lose to a Penn State, and like the Penn State caliber schools lose to like the middle tier schools, it's usually going to be a financial reason, or they decided they wanted to, you know, upgrade that position, and maybe there was just a split. So, but when you see guys decommit like a Jameer to Georgia, that's a little bit tough. You know, those are tougher to deal with because those are going to happen, because they're just up there with the money. If they really want them, they should be able to get them, especially for in-state kids. Jameer's a little bit different because he's coming from Tennessee, but Texas, like, if Sark wanted that kid, I and he wasn't asking for like a crazy amount of money, which they don't really care about money, obviously, with having a $48 million budget. You know, like, he's probably pissed. Like, most coaches will be pissed if they lose in-state kids that they want.
Exactly. All right, we got one more quarter to go. Stay tuned for that.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent, led by Mike B and powered by Penn State students. It's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by HVU Insider. I'm Jim, he's Mike. We're coming down the home stretch. It's quarter number four of our show. And Mike, we teased it a little bit. You got some time with the players this past week, got to know them a little bit better, some interaction. Tell us about some of the players that you got a chance to talk to.
Yeah, so this year we did something pretty cool. It's basically, instead of bugging the guys for, like, you know, autographs and, like, media, like media content, stuff like that. You know, a lot of that stuff happens sporadically during the season. Instead, we're like, hey, let's just get a day or two in the summer and then just do a factory kind of line of it. And so it was our first year doing it, but it went really well. So, you know, I was there having the guys and assign some things that, you know, like I talked about for our sweepstakes, we'll be having on our sweeps. And it was good seeing them. But noticeably, you know, there's a lot of these guys, it was great seeing them. So like I was there Thursday, Friday, and all the guys they look a lot bigger, right now, and not bigger in a bad way. Like I saw Caleb Brewer, and I know he was on the show and like,
yeah,
he switched from offensive line to defensive line. Like he looks like a totally different kid. Like right now he lost a lot of weight, like a baby fat weight, and he looks good. So it's going to be interesting to see him at defensive line. Like I said in the past, I'm excited to see him, and I'm glad he was able to make that transition and he's embracing it, and he looks the part. I told you, Dom Rooley, you saw him on the show. He said he talked about you again when I was talking to him, but he looks good. I saw Mason Robinson, and he's coming off that injury. I know he feels good.
Yeah.
He says he's happier. He's really happy with how the progress is going. That's kind of an underrated player right now because he's been hurt. But Owen Alessini, the tight end, you thought he was a tight end or a power forward, continues to put on pounds in a good way. And he looks like an NFL NFL tackle. And speaking of what an NFL tackle looks like, Malachi Goodman is what they look like. And I would not be surprised if he has a good year this year. Going into next year, he'll be a highly projected draft pick. I'll die on the sword on that one with him. Who else did I see? I saw Karam Brookins, KB, transfer. We saw him at our show because he was there last Wednesday. But, dude, this guy's long, like super long. And the other kid that's super long, like avatar-ish, I bring that up, is the Chase Sowell kid that transferred over here, the wide receiver. Just looks really good. There's a lot of talk out of spring ball about Armstrong, our defensive tackle. He's not the tallest, right? Like they want him, but he is a freaking bowling ball of muscle. just a muscle. So it was good seeing all of those guys. Got to see Cooper. Coop looks great right now. Cooper Cousins. Trevor Byrd looks awesome. Great kid. I haven't really got to talk to him. We got to talk a little bit. He's an Iowa kid. And he just taken a trip to Jersey Shore. And so you can imagine the stories from him and experience. So yeah, it all in all, it was great seeing him. I saw Andrew Rapaday. Looks great. Granville, I don't know if you saw some pictures online. It looks huge right now. It looks like like a cartoon almost, like when Popeye eats his spinach, and he just kind of blew up. And he looks great. And that should be very exciting to a lot of fans, because I know we were excited to see him hit the scene last year. But I think with his recovery, how the good physical weight that he's put on right now, I think he could have a really good year this year at a position that's kind of unknown. And I know everybody's kind of like that. That's a position we're looking to see how that kind of evolves. But, yeah, it was great. Saw Tony Rojas, looks freaking great. You know, all the guys, everybody looked great. Great seeing you.
Couple that I'm glad you brought up, and I want to ask you a little bit more about, because I think they're in real positions of importance. You mentioned Max Granville. They need an edge to step up. They probably need more than one guy, but they need – that's a position where over the last at least half decade, going into the season every year, there was a guy you could say, he's the man, he's the guy. They don't have that guy going into this season, so they'll need somebody to step up. So it'd be real nice if Granville could be that kind of guy.
Yeah, but also, just because of the Chaz Coleman, I think Camaju got really kind of like under...
Forgotten, yeah.
Yeah, dude, and to me, like, he's an NFL potential. And I think this year, you can see how he played as a young player. He's just kind of he's not stiff, but you kind of play stiff a little bit when you're young. But yeah, just with experience and another year in the cycle of a strength and conditioning program, like, I think he could have a breakout year this year. And then going into the 27 season or the next season, he could be like our bell cow, our Abdul Carter of the world. You know what I mean? I think he's that type of talent.
I was watching some game film from last year, and Camaju did really stick out in those films. And the other guy you mentioned, Malachi Goodman, that's another guy. Boy, great. That's so important if he could step up, Mike.
Oh, yeah. He looks so good. All those guys together, you know, linemen are just different. They're a different breed. And when they're together, they go in herds. They all always together. It was good seeing those guys together, them messing around with each other and kidding. And but he just looks – he looks like what you want to look like. Hopefully he plays like how he looks, and I think he is. There's a reason why he was a five-star. Remember, five-stars aren't really that hard to name five-stars. They're five-stars because they're five-stars. They're easy to see.
Right. They stick out. Those you know instantly. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about him, because you mentioned the name, Chaz Coleman, and we got more information this past week. It sounds like he won't be on the roster at Tennessee this year. Got to at least get your reaction to everything going on there.
Yeah, it just sucks. You know, just from me being around the kid initially when he first came on campus. Remember, he wasn't an early enrollee. He came in the summer of last year. That's what made his jumping into the scene that much more even impressive, right? Just meeting him, I met his uncle. He came from a pretty tough area, that Youngstown area where I'm from. Warren Harding is just known to be a tough area. He had a rough family background. And his uncle was kind of his guy, both awesome. He was very quiet, seemed like a humble kid. And this is just, to me, just it's a product of what NIL can do if you don't have the right people around you, right? And if you don't lean on those people around you. I think Chaz had a ton of good people around him coming into Penn State. I think as his name became a big name and everybody knew he was going to be able to demand high dollar, then enters a lot of other people Then enters, you know, family member that sees dollar signs. Maybe that enters, maybe a not too good of an agent or a guy that can promise I can get you this money enters the scene. And all of that combined, while this kid is still 19 and developing, has to address all of that, right? And a lot of the times these guys that are high-end guys like Chaz, they have good people around them. They have good representation for the most part to help them navigate through this. I just don't think this is, I think this is just, the example of what can go wrong with NIL if you don't have good people around you. Now, I heard they're not on the hook for the money, which, in this day and age, that's a good, the school shouldn't be on the hook for this, for that contract. If he doesn't show up, and this is going to probably have, this is probably going to have a domino effect with how people do and structure their contracts in the future, just to avoid this type of situation.
Well, that's the thing. Just in general, a comment on how these contracts are done. It's something new, and especially like the NIL stuff, which is not based on playing, at least theoretically. And because of that, Mike, I think schools are still learning how to structure the contract and see what makes sense. And, I think when I talk to people, I've always been an advocate of a multi-year contract. And I've had people throw up this as Chaz Coleman. That's why you don't have multi-year contracts, because you don't know what could happen. And, that is a lesson learned, I think, for a lot of schools.
Yeah. And you know what's funny? I just listened to a clip of, I think it's Danny White. He's the AD, coincidentally, at Tennessee. And he kind of went into this whole thing about a CBA, right? Because contracts are going to be contracts, but unless we have some kind of CBA or some kind of union, you can sue. You're going to continue to be able to test the contracts, test these rules, test anything until there's some type of CBA. And there's been a lot of backlash with that. And that's all people internally want is some type of CBA. But then you get a lot of the academia people and the people, outside of the athletics saying we can't do that. There's Title IX. There's all of this and all of that. There's them being employees, this and that. Danny White said, it's not that hard. Like, we still can do that. And I think, to my point, I think we have to get to that point to get some type of sustainable structure in college football, right? And then once we get that, because right now all these decisions are being made, right? This 5 for 5, were there any players? Was there any players in college football or in athletics that had any kind of take on that or any kind of piece in that? No, right? So have a CBA. These guys can go to the table. And we can have a conversation about these type of rules that we want to implement. Now everybody's on the same page, right? So now somebody wants to sue? No, it's in the CBA. We agreed to that.
Right. But I think one of the other issues that always comes up is, are they then employees? So that always becomes an issue.
Let's figure it out.
Exactly. There's smart people out there figured out. All right. That's the last word. Thank you, Mike. Thank all of you for joining us. Make sure you come back next time for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent, led by Mike B and powered by Penn State students. It's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.